Christ.
Amen.
The meditation comes from the passage you just heard from Matthew chapter 10. Let us pray. Lord, be our light when worldly darkness veils us. Lord, be our shield when earthly armor fails us. And in the day when hell itself assails us, grant us your peace, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we hear from Matthew chapter 10 in regards of our Lord sending out his vicars, if you will, men who he's preparing to become pastors, if you will. And I thought that it was somewhat intriguing, and I thought, well, I'm an admissions counselor. Maybe I can use some of the words of our Lord as he prepares these men to go out into the world. And I thought maybe we could do this. You can just see the kind of advertisement we can put out there. Become a pastor and be sent out as sheep amongst wolves. Become a pastor and have great, unique opportunities to be delivered over to the courts and be flogged, to be dragged before the governors and kings. Become a pastor so that you can see brother deliver brother over to death, and your father his child, and see children rise against parents, and have them put to death, and be hated by, and you will be hated by all. Yes, I think this would be a great opportunity for you if you become a pastor. It would be a nice advertising for our seminary. But really, what is our Lord really talking about here within this passage? In a way, our Lord is not really even simply given a message of these guys he sent out to become pastors, but he's also speaking to those who are to serve the church as deaconesses, and we can even say to all Christians in general as baptized Christians. How do we make sense of what our Lord is saying here today? When I teach a class on demonology, I frequently ask the question to the class of what is evil. It really is a good question of our day, and it's very interesting what people see, what is evil in the world. After all, we could even say what we hear from our Lord today is evil things to God's people, that they will be flogged and may even be killed for the faith, you know, matters of persecutions and so on. We could clearly say that these things are evil acts against dear Christians. But when I ask the class what is evil, they begin to talk about the evils in the world. Maybe such evils as we see going on in South Sudan and other places in the world where Christians are being persecuted, where men, women, and children are being tortured and even killed. When I have the opportunity to go to a third world country, I'm often reminded how sometimes in the United States we don't see these things. In some ways we can be kind of soft, if you will, in the United States, making big issues out of little things of our seemingly convenient life, while other Christians in the world, both child and adult, are being tortured and murdered, all because of their faith and their confession in Christ Jesus. Again, I ask the class, again, what are further examples of evil? Then they not only talk about the evils in the world, but evils in their own life and evils that they see in their fellow neighbor. I would say to the class that indeed all these examples are truly evil. But I ask them, what is the ultimate notion of evil in the scriptures? What is the ultimate evil? They would kind of stare at me thinking that they exasperated this whole subject of evil in the world and within their own lives. And so they're sitting there kind of pondering what could be the greatest evil in Holy Scripture. I said clearly, as we see within Scripture, the greatest evil in this world today is when we do not fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Frequently, we are earthbound people in our thinking. We are thinking that the quality of life and the meaning of life comes from the world, our circumstance in our life, that our life is simply measured by our successes and our own failures within life. that someday our life will be good. We'll be out of debt someday. We'll find that perfect spouse, have that perfect family, have the picket fence, if you will, as the old saying goes, that someday everything will be just right. Someday I'll pass Greek. Someday I'll pass Hebrew. But we have this notion in our culture today that in some way things will in some way be right within life. But our nature of sin says this is all we have, this journey on this world. That the meaning of life is simply earthbound, that the meaning of life is really simply found here or in this worldly journey that we make. After I ask the class, what is evil? Then I commonly go and ask them again, what is sin? And here they define sin again as breaking God's commandment and breaking God's laws. And I said, indeed, these are truly sin. But the ultimate expression of sin is a relationship problem again, that we do not fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Though the ultimate evil, therefore, the ultimate sin in the Holy Scriptures is not fearing and loving and trusting in God above all things. Life for the Christian, therefore, is not simply defined by the world, by our life, even by our own struggles, even our own sin, even by ourselves, as if somehow, in some way, we are the author of things and the author of life. No, the Christian knows very well the ultimate meaning of life and its very substance and its meaning is known from the God who is the giver of life. That very God who has created the world, that very God who has breathed life into you and has given you life now unto all eternity in Christ Jesus. The worth, the value of who we are and what we are and what we have become is known foundationally as baptized Christians. As we journey through this world, we're ever mindful of these things. And when Christians, especially in ancient Christianity, would face such things as persecution and suffering and all sorts of unfortunate circumstances within life, and when they went through such things that they themselves cannot make sense of these things in this world, they did not stare out into this world to try to understand these things, but they simply looked to God. From that very foundational principle that from God all good comes from Him. Life is not known in this world, therefore, but God in His gifts. The Christian's trust is never in the world, but the greater life that has been won for them in Christ Jesus. This is why St. Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, he says, if you have been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above and not on the things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. So what's our point of our Lord's passage here today? Well, one would imagine there are very few pastors in the United States who have been dragged out into the street, who have been flogged, and their life simply threatened in a very public way within the United States. We have no idea, of course, what lies within our own future here in the United States. But what is our Lord really communicating here? Our Lord is expressing a very fundamental notion that our life is not known in this world, a world that is blinded in sin, and a world that is simply earthbound to this present life. In a world, suffering and death are an unwelcome guest that makes no sense while seeking a quality life on this earthbound life. But all the baptized know greater. Those who are going to be pastors and deaconesses, those who are going to serve the church as baptized Christians, their life, their minds are in heaven, in that greater life won for us by the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Their life is absorbed by true love and true mercy and true forgiveness. through the gifts of God that has been won for us, through the suffering and death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary, the very central hinge of our own Christian faith. This is life, of the greater life that has been won for us in our Lord's death upon the cross, and thus his resurrection for us and for our own salvation. A true life and relationship before God, thus a true life with our neighbor. May this peace, dear Christians, be with all of you, no matter what we experience in this life as faithful confessors of this faith. As you may consider serving the church, let us never be earthbound, but always be mindful that our service is to God himself and that all glory may be unto him. Soli Deo Gloria. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds and faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.